We present the news quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
And welcome to the news quiz. We start with a cutting from The Times, read by Peter Donaldson.
There were some civil service mandarins around Tony Blair who had their lips quite close to his bottom, says Alistair Campbell. Now they see the wind is blowing in a different direction.
And our thanks to David Johnson in Farnham for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, stalwart Jeremy Hardy, along with newcomer stand-up Mickey Flanagan. And opposite them on my left, Jack D and Francis Ween. Jeremy, who's been forced on the defensive by paper cuts?
This is all about defence and arms spending and stuff, and I have no interest in stuff to do with the army because I'm a 48-year-old man and not a prepubescent boy. And unfortunately, all of the comment is written by 48-year-old men who've spent their youth round the back of the shed alternating between the shower fittings page of the Argos catalogue and boys' magazines like Victor, where the enemy died saying, "Ah, gehör Himmel." And now they're writing in the Times and the Telegraph about defence spending and what we should do with it, and start talking about boots on the ground and great bits of kit and asymmetrical warfare. And I think, I'll just grow up. I don't know. So he was saying, well, we could merge the Marines with the Girl Guides.
That is the nub of it, isn't it? That we're going to just combine all three armed forces in this defence green paper that there was more of a khaki paper, really, with bits of twig and leaf attached to it. And they're going to combine it all into one big thing with the WI and the BBC, and everyone's all going to be in... And Chris Evans is going to be in charge of it all. And it won't be called war anymore. It has to be called drive time.
Tanks are a thing of the... They're going to get rid of all the tanks.
And the RAF. He said, oh,
really?
Sir Jock Stirrup. How do you say it's boring when it involves a man called Sir Jock Stirrup?
That's right. That is.
Old Sir Jock said that if the worst came to the worst, they might have to do away with the RAF and use, I think, Ryanair, was it?
Yeah.
So, they'll get drops of bombs on Helmand Province, but actually the bombs will be dropped in a neighbouring country and they'll then have to travel on a coach for 20 hours.
Yes, the Defence Green Paper, Adaptability and Partnership, has been published, with senior military commanders suggesting that the Army, Navy and RAF could be combined into a single force. A separate report this week criticised the MOD for buying unsuitable equipment such as the Toyota tank, which during a parking manoeuvre accidentally blitzkrieged the Forest of Dean. So, 2 points to Jeremy. Mickey, why can't a lay person be a gay person?
This week the Archbishop of Canterbury has spoken out against the Equality Bill.
We've gone higher than that.
The more militant one lives in Italy.
The Pope. He said that he didn't want the Equality Bill to affect the Catholic Church because it could end up with transsexuals and homosexuals coming into the Catholic Church.
No.
Yes, and I can't see there being a problem with homosexuals in the Catholic Church. I think those churches need smartening up. And and I think Gok Wong could do wonders with that hat. Give him a bag, maybe.
He thinks that Harriet Harman is going to force them in. I'm not sure he's really got the hang of her equality bill. He said that if Harriet Harman has her way, all Catholics will be forced by law to have, even Anne Widdecombe, to be cared for by gay foster parents. And he'll have to have Peter Tatchell as his papal nuncio, and he won't have any choice then.
But once again, you see, we're allowing ourselves to be pushed around by some slightly worrying freak who doesn't really know what they're talking about, and that's Harriet Harman all over. You say he's coming to the country, but he's coming to this country, but he's worried about our equality laws, and it's kind of hard to imagine Jesus coming back and saying that, isn't it? Coming back, I didn't mean poofs.
Well, there was a wonderful bit. The Archbishop of Cardiff tried to clarify the church's viewpoint. Sometimes in government legislation, equality seems to mean that we are all absolutely equal, which we're not. Do you think they can actually hear themselves when they're speaking? Do you think that's... I don't know if any of you feel strongly about this. If you want to get in touch with the Pope, his email address is popebenedict16@hotmail.com. Apparently 15 other people had already gone for the name Pope Benedict. A clause in the new Equality Bill preventing discrimination against church laity on the grounds of sexuality has been dropped after the Pope insisted it went against natural law. Do you know something else that goes against natural law? How Harriet Harman can walk when she's got no spine. This is the most dramatic papal intervention since Pope John Paul II ordered God to make sure Maradona scored in the 1986 World Cup. 2 points to Mickey. Jack, whose use of statistics was criminal?
The government have accused the Tories of twisting and changing around the statistics. This has never happened before in politics, so it's a big scandal. And they are, it's sort of scaremongering, the Tories are scaremongering, saying that violent crime is up in a big way. But actually they've pointed out, I think what it is that the way that violent crime is registered now has changed. So that now, I think since 2002, it's very boring because it's right, but since 2002, you can decide as a victim whether your crime was a violent crime or not. So that now if you were hit over the head with a piece of metal piping, you can say that was a violent crime, whereas before that was left for the police to decide and they would have put it down as I asked him to move on.
These figures, though, Jack, were quite extraordinary. Mark Lancaster, who's the Conservative MP for Milton Keynes North, claimed that violent attacks in his constituency had increased by 236% and now stood at 6,015 a year. In fact, when they checked with the local police commander, the figure was actually 81. I mean, you'd notice a violent crime increase of 236.
You would.
You couldn't put your recycling out. You'd have to...
A friend of my son's actually, he's, I think he's 12. I'm not saying my son, I do know how old my son is.
Best not to pay too much attention to the children.
But he was mugged for his phone the other day, and he wasn't hurt, thankfully, he wasn't hurt. But the bloke just said, hand your phone over, so he did. And the mugger looked at it and handed it back. Because it wasn't a very good one. And he said, how long have you had it? He said, well, I've had it for 2 years. I said, go and get an upgrade. And told him where to go for the upgrade, and then said, we'll go and get an upgrade, and then he'll be mugged again.
But the violent crime increases were extraordinary, according to the Tory figures. 150% it had increased in Bath. Surely the last violent thing that happened in Bath was the Roman invasion.
Didn't they also say that they were sort of slightly wrong anyway, the figures, because they didn't include manslaughter and murder, which is fairly violent.
That's
when it's
quite,
taken
place. Shadow Home Secretary Chris Grayling has been criticised for distributing figures showing a dramatic increase in violent crime over the past 10 years, ignoring the fact that the classification of violent crime substantially changed in 2002. Tory figures appear to show that there's been a sharp increase in violence since Labour came to power, although I think it seems unfair to include Iraq, Afghanistan, Toyota forecourts. 2 points to Jack. Francis, what's gone from being past the post to something more alternative?
It's the electoral system. Mm. When Labour got in 97, Blair, he wooed Paddy Ashton by promising that if Labour got in, they would change the electoral system. And Ashton fell for this and then felt a complete twit. And actually he wrote in his diaries, as David Cameron pointed out at Question Time, Gordon Brown has blocked it. He doesn't want any of this nonsense. And a mere 13 years on, 3 months from an election, Gordon suddenly woke up and said, I know what we want. Let's change the voting system.
So, how does the alternative vote system work? I mean...
Ranking.
I beg your pardon.
Language.
It's all about ranking.
Oh.
But apparently Nick Clegg said it was a deathbed conversion. And we're having one of those built for my mum on the side of the house.
apparently the Commons are going to vote on the issue before its half-term break next Wednesday. Half-term. Why is the country run by a group of people who use the terminology of a primary school? What is it?
That's a good point, though. I actually think if they're going to change the electoral system, they should stop using primary schools as polling stations, because it's just an outrage that teachers and children should be disturbed like that every 4 years. I mean, some of them get quite hysterical. OK, I chose the wrong day. I was trying to make a point about gun crime and it did go wrong. That's the other thing, is that they are trying to... didn't Gordon Brown want to bring down the age of voting?
So yes.
This is a terrible thought. You can't have teenagers voting, because the logical conclusion is that you have teenagers in Parliament and you have the National Adolescent Democratic Party or something. Vote for us, because everything is so unfair!
It'd be called the OMG Party.
OMG, what's that?
They're forming a coalition with the LOLs, I think you'll find.
Oh, yes.
It's text language, Jack.
You've got to be up
Jack.
To speed with what the young people are talking about.
It's what they speak on the interweb.
You see Brown and Cameron at Prime Minister's questions, it is a bit like that. It's so much, you know, as if, like, I'm like so, you know, not so... That's all they say to each other.
Gordon Brown hopes to restore trust in politics by changing the way in which we vote, ditching the first-past-the-post system in favour of the alternative vote system. Now, here we are. The way it works, you get your voting slip and you number the candidates in the order you like them, with one being top, two being second, and then I think you swap bits of paper, and if two people have the same number, they have to kiss each other. Honestly, I wasn't really... I lost the will to live. At the end of round one, the scores are Jeremy and Mickey have got 4 points, but so too have Jack and Francis. We start round two with a cutting from Aspects, the alumni magazine for Anglia Ruskin University.
John Edwins is currently working at NASA. He says, I never set out to be a rocket scientist, but now I is one.
Our thanks to Alan Watt for sending us that. Mickey, now no conferring with Jeremy on this one, OK? Whose bad behaviour needs to be examined?
No,
you're not allowed to cheat.
Can I text it to him? Come on, man. Text it me, man.
It's to do with cheating in exams, isn't it?
Ah, yes, I've read a little bit about this, but I've never really taken an exam.
None at all?
Later on I did, but I left school with nothing, with a bottle opener. I made in the third year. And we made ashtrays in the second year, bottle openers in the third year. Prams in the fourth year. There was low expectations in my school, you know. Like the most ambitious kid in my class wanted to drive a van.
Please tell me he achieved
just
his...
He was dreamer. I sorted this out when I was about 29,
right.
And I went to university later on.
Okay.
And it was hard because I used to speak up during the lectures, and I know everyone was thinking, "Blimey, the window cleaner's keen, isn't he?"
What a heartwarming story that is.
Good for you.
Were you blind, Mickey, as a child? As a ghetto?
I took my calipers off and I walked into that room.
Can we get back to the cheating? Apparently, there is a website where you can buy exam cheat equipment. It's an extraordinary thing. But surely what's happening is we're losing a skill. We're losing the skill children used to have of writing an entire answer on your arm. Do you remember that, Francis? You used to be able to...
on your earlobe, anyway,
yes,
really.
I could do the whole of the Battle of Agincourt on my forearm. It was...
expected to remember everything. If you go and see a lawyer, he gets a book of law down. If you go to a court case, they've all got lots of precedent all in books. Even if you go and see your doctor now, he gets the bluffer's guide to osteoporosis off the shelf.
Because you've got children, Jack, how many children you got?
Four.
Well, here's a curious thing. You get, apparently, extra marks, so if you're doing an exam. If, for example, students get 5% added following the recent death of a parent, 4% after major surgery or a car accident, 2% for the death of a pet, and 1% for a headache. So
I'll go
car
as
accident.
Far as killing a pet, but the rest of it...
2.5 dead pets equals a parent.
Nice to know where you stand, isn't it?
It's good. Last summer, 4,500 pupils were penalised for attempting to cheat in their exams, a 6% rise on the year before. The increase has forced schools to introduce detection equipment as cheating becomes more high-tech. The most common offence was bringing banned items in, such as mobile phones, MP3 players, Sir Stephen Hawking, that kind of thing. 2 points to Mickey. Jack, whose theories about memory loss have come to a pregnant pause?
I think this is to do with the theory that has now been disproved that pregnant women are not forgetful because they're pregnant. Unless you're a wag, of course, in which case you lose your memory just before you get pregnant. For instance, you forget that you're actually going out with someone else. But nowadays, with the advances of science, it is possible to lose your memory when you're pregnant because you're now allowed to get pregnant when you're so old that, in fact, it's dementia setting in.
My wife went mental a couple of weeks after we had the baby. She forgot she was desperately in love with me. Started saying that I was a useless waste of space and not pulling my own weight. She said, I'm losing my identity. Hadn't even finished the cleaning. Madness.
It's not just the mother, it's the father as well. Because when one of my children was born, I was alone in the house with my other half. And because the previous child, when he was born, he had his umbilical cord round his neck and the midwife had to snip it. So she said, quick, get some scissors, just in case. And you know what it's like with scissors? I wonder around the house. Now we've got scissors. We have 800 pairs of scissors. And eventually, after about a quarter of an hour, I found a pair of kitchen scissors and went upstairs. And as I walked into the room with these scissors, she'd obviously forgotten. I mean, she'd got the preg head thing as well. Forgotten that she'd asked me to get some scissors. She looks at me as if I was Jack Nicholson and The Shining. What are you doing with those scissors?
And did you do it entirely by yourselves? Did nobody else?
Well, luckily, our nearest neighbour living up the lane, about 100 yards away, was a retired midwife, so I got on the phone. I was at the moment.
Where do you live? Ambridge? Wait a minute, let's get the midwife from up the lane.
Well, when we were having the twins, and my wife, Jane, was understandably nervous about the event when it came to birth, and she's having cesarean, and they put a little sort of tent up over your tummy. The mother, obviously, not me. And the doctor got one of them out, and, oh, it's great, it's a little boy, darling, it's a little boy. So he gets the other one out. It's another little boy. And the doctor then thought it'd be funny to say, let's see what number three is.
Baby brain, the belief that being pregnant makes women absent-minded, is a myth, according to new research from the Australian National University in Canberra. Extraordinary. Australia's got a university. Australian researchers say we've been misled by a fallacy. Much like all those poor women. So 2 points to Jack. Francis, who's happy for their views to appear far from enlightened?
Prince Charles.
Yes.
He's made another of his wonderful whinging speeches, saying that nobody loves him and nobody understands him. And he said, I'm proud to be an enemy of the Enlightenment. Because he said, I was thinking about this Enlightenment, and I thought, hang on. I think most of Prince Charles's thoughts begin with, hang on. I thought, hang on, that was more than 200 years ago. Principles that were enunciated more than 200 years ago can't still apply today. Apart from hereditary monarchy, possibly.
All these conferences and speeches he does, I think the answer is to make him do Dragon's Den. And he can lay out his plan. His plan was, one part of it was that any new house is built has to be built so that swallows and swifts can live there as well. And you do that in front of the Dragon's Den, and smashing block, but you're barking mad, and for that reason, I'm out.
There's some truth in what he says, though, because 200 years ago, people like Voltaire and Rousseau and Locke and all that lot, they thought everything can be clarified by the application of reason. But we now realise that it can't. Like, for example, space stuff. You know, lots of space scientists are religious because they're thinking, well, hang on, let's look at the stars. The stars aren't actually there. They're millions and millions of light years away. So what I'm looking at is some light that has travelled from somewhere that's no longer there, and it's taken so long to get there that by the time... Oh, bollocks, there's a god.
Prince Charles has admitted to feeling pride at being labelled the enemy of the Enlightenment, saying it's time to think again as to whether the movement, which uses reason as the primary source of authority, was still effective.
Just because he's the idiot spawn of incestuous German robber barons doesn't mean he's not entitled to his opinion.
At the end of round two, the scores are Jeremy and Mickey have got 8 points, but so too have Jack and Francis. Before we start round three, here is a cutting from the Rochdale Observer.
A woman has been robbed in St. Chad's town centre. The thief said, I want what you've got, and threatened the woman with a pair of sisters.
And our thanks to Barbara Forthrop for sending us that. Jeremy, why might water board meetings be coming to Wall Street?
This is quite weird. People in the CIA are moonlighting on Wall Street. Using their clever lie detection techniques.
Well, hedge fund managers want to know if their colleagues are lying to them, don't they? So they bring the CIA in to interrogate them or interview them, and if they seem to be lying, and if that doesn't work, they're going to bring Firm Britain in and really get hard on them. Because she'll crack them.
Are they torturing?
I don't think they're torturing. They're just looking out for deter statements when they're sort of giving out a presentation. These guys stand at the back and go, I think he's lying. I think that guy's lying. He's used a deter statement. I tend to use him with my wife, and she says, what time did you get in last night? And I say, your hair's looking lovely today, darling.
It's lovely to think on Wall Street that there was this big board meeting where some hedge fund manager was saying, do you know what, I think someone might be telling fibs.
Financial firms on Wall Street have been hiring CIA agents to determine if people they do business with are telling the truth. One banker complained of a harrowing 10-hour torture flight filled with men in orange jumpsuits, although it turned out his PA had accidentally booked EasyJet. 2 points to Jeremy. Mickey, which Englishman's castle cannot be his home?
Ah, yes, this is the chap who's been told that he's got to pull his house down because he built it in Reigate in Surrey, and then what he did was to try and get around the laws of getting permission to build the house. He sort of put bales of hay in front of it to stop people seeing it, because if they don't see it for 4 years, they can't complain. And then he took the bales down, and he thought he would be allowed to keep the house, but he wasn't.
It's like a kind of really rubbish Bond villain. Rather than have a lair built in a hollowed-out volcano from which you can launch a rocket, you build a house behind some straw and some tarpaulin.
This is a mock Tudor castle. He's done it in the wrong county, hasn't he, really? If he'd have done it in Essex, he'd been housed here. I went to buy a car in Essex once with my friend, and we went into the chap's porter cabin, and he'd had that done out in mock Tudor.
No.
it's called Fiddler, isn't he, this man?
He's called Fiddler.
Well, I saw it when it was being built, actually, and this man Fiddler, and he was on the roof, and it gave me an idea for this musical that I've been written, which is called Chicago. So if you want to come and see that.
Surrey farmer Robert Fiddler, who built a 4-bedroom castle then kept it hidden for 4 years behind bales of hay, has lost a court battle to prevent its demolition. In 2006, Fiddler removed the straw to reveal his castle. This came as a major blow to the big bad wolf, who had been confident he could take him at any time. 2 points to Mickey. Jack, what is a pointless exercise?
A sport is pointless.
Yes, exercising is pointless. Most pleasing story of the entire week. Mm.
It's one of those false headlines where they say exercise is a waste of time. It doesn't say that. It says exercise doesn't prevent diabetes. And I thought, nobody ever thought exercise did prevent... It's like when they say, organic vegetables can't prevent nuclear war.
I'm sorry, it said 20% of people needn't bother exercising, and I bet everybody who read that thought, oh, that'll be me. I bet that's me.
I think that's me as well, because I went to the gym just after Christmas and I laid down on the mat to do some sit-ups, and I woke up 2 hours later. I felt fantastic. It's just those...
I go jogging, I have to admit, so I'm sure it's fairly obvious. I like to run, just often enough to make me feel smug.
New research suggests that the health benefit of aerobic exercise is determined by one's genes, and for 20% of us, exercising is pointless. Hooray! 20% of the people in the study carried the unfitness gene. Although, you know, not all the time, because they had to keep putting it down, having a bit of a breather. Francis, have a listen to this.
It's was the soundtrack to a Welsh porn film.
Good luck with that Cardiff gig, Jeremy.
It was the Swiss national anthem plus effects. Francis, where might rats be represented by parasites?
Well, let's say Switzerland.
Go crazy. Give them a minute.
They don't know.
The Swiss are suggesting that animals should have representation. Lawyers.
Yes!
See, they don't know.
Yes.
I told you they don't know.
I don't know when an animal would go to court. That's the bit I haven't understood about it.
Exactly. I mean, it's taking it too far. I mean, you just keep it simpler and let animals have one phone call. I don't think it would
do you... You're going to get adverts on the TV asking racehorses if they've had an accident at work, aren't you? I mean, that's just...
Fox around my way is on an ASBA at the moment. And, he was falsely accused of going through the bins. He was just recycling, really.
Switzerland is to hold a referendum next month on whether animals should have the right to be represented by lawyers. In November, a pilot trial had to be abandoned after a goat took the stand and ate the Bible. A critic said lawyers were just trying to make an easy buck. The buck is now suing for defamation. So, 2 points to Francis. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Mr. Hardy.
Oh, thank you, Sandy. This was sent in by somebody called Mary Rose, who's a ship in... and from Hull, which is a port, so that's appropriate. And this is from the Police magazine, it says here. A detective inspector from Humberside Police called for assistance to deal with an illegal encampment of travellers and a large public crowd. An inspector who had just travelled the same route said if he looked in more detail, he would see an enormous red and white striped tent and an elephant. The circus was in town. See, it was, he thought it was an illegal encampment of travellers. I thought the cold snap had killed off the less responsive members of the audience.
Mr. Flanagan.
This is a sign, obviously, outside the train station. Due to severe weather conditions, we are closed. Sorry for any incontinence calls. We've all been there.
Mr. D.
Peter Maxwell Light sent me this. It's a transcript from a call centre where they have to take calls, and they, you know how they record the conversations. It goes like this. The technical support person says, I need you to right-click on the open desktop. OK. Did you get a pop-up menu? No. OK, right-click again. Do you see a pop-up menu? No. OK, so can you tell me what you have done up until this point? Sure. You told me to right-click, and I wrote click.
Mr. Ween.
I'm very grateful to Maritus State for sending this in from the Darlington and Stockton Times. A university has spent more than £20,000 on changing its name. After a decision to update its image, the University of Teesside will now be known as Teesside University.
Let's take a look at the final score. I can tell you that the scores this week are exactly even, so on the grounds of sartorial elegance, this week's winners are Jack and Francis. Before we leave you, here is a cutting from the Times sent in by Danielle Goodwin.
Now available online, expert analysis on the latest religious issues in Ruth Glenhill's bog.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Jeremy Hardy and Mickey Flanagan, Jack D and Francis Wheen. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news is read by me, Peter Donaldson. The chair's script is written by Lucy Clark, Roderick Crooks and Gareth Gwynn, with additional material by Russell Thompson and John Luke Roberts. The producer was Sam Bryant.